KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, K201DA King Cove, KFPS Falls Pass.
Hello and welcome to Line One, Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Dr. Jillian Woodruff. By the time you reach 40, your body may already be losing 1% of its muscle mass every year, but it doesn't have to. What if the key to unlocking strength, longevity, and mobility lies in understanding how your body works and making the right changes to bring out its best? From metabolic health to muscle strength, science shows that even small changes in how we breathe, move, and fuel ourselves can transform our energy and health. In today's conversation on the science of human performance, training, and living longer, we'll uncover powerful strategies to enhance fitness, prevent disease, and optimize your body's potential, whether you're an athlete chasing personal bests, a parent chasing after the kids, or chasing after that fountain of youth. We've got answers for you. Joining us today is Rebecca McKee, known to many as Coach B. She is a nationally acclaimed endurance coach with over 2 decades of experience. She holds some of the highest certifications in triathlon, cycling, swimming, and metabolic health, including being one of the few USAT Level 2 endurance coaches in the nation. Rebecca is also a competitive elite triathlete with 8 Ironman Kona World Championship finishes, 3 of them in the top 10, and numerous global accolades, including a number 4 world ranking for her age group in 2024. In addition to her achievements, she is the owner of Peak Center Alaska, a premier training facility in Anchorage dedicated to optimizing health and performance for athletes and non-athletes alike. Coach B, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am so glad you're here, and I'm excited to have this conversation. And listeners, you can also join our conversation. Are you curious about what tools or assessments can help you take control of your health? Are you curious about how tailored fitness assessments can help address specific challenges like joint pain, declining flexibility, or mobility, no matter your starting point? Ask your questions. Call us toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752, 1-888-353-5752, in Anchorage at 907-550-8433. Or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Okay, Coach B, I would love to hear your story about how you first became involved in endurance sports like triathlons and distance swimming and Ironman competitions. Tell us about it.
Well, I started out back in 2000. A friend talked me into doing the all-women's triathlon in Anchorage, Alaska, the Gold Nugget, which is one of the largest all-women's triathlons in the nation, as well as the longest running all women's triathlon. And I did not know how to swim. I did not really own a bike that you would ride for a triathlon. And I was barely a runner, but I crossed the finish line in that event. And maybe I was in the top 200, maybe. And my whole life changed. I just had never felt that achievement, that sense of accomplishment, and I knew I was going to do this for the rest of my life. And interestingly enough, in 2016, 16 years later, I went back and finished second overall woman in that event to a professional triathlete. She actually went pro after that event. And so the drive to become better and the focus of just being able to be on a journey of self-improvement really excited me. And that's probably how, you know, it becomes a little bit of an addiction, I think, triathlon and the variety between the sports. And so from that, I started really diving into being a self-coach and learning how to coach, and had some friends that were willing to let me, for the most part, torture them and experiment on them and become more familiar with being able to be a coach. And so over the years, though, the exposure to the people, that's the big thing, I think, that's kept me going and kept me motivating, is being able to join others in their journey and seeing people achieve and accomplish their goals. And it's really exciting.
Yeah, the sport community is really fascinating, the type of relationships that people have and how you encourage people you've just never even met before. You may be meeting them the first time, but you have this kind of kindred spirit. Congratulations on that finish in the Golden Nugget. That's pretty amazing. Growing up, were you athletic growing up? Were you always doing sports?
No, I was not. I became an athlete as an adult. I was always a team manager. I was always involved in sports, but peripherally, I wasn't actually an athlete. And when I met my husband, he got me into biking, and it just opened up a whole new world for me. So triathlon, it was very, very scary. It was something that I wasn't sure I could do. And crossing, like I said, crossing that finish line changed my entire perspective of me. It changed my confidence in what I thought I could achieve. And moving through and from a sprint triathlon like Gold Nugget to doing an Ironman to becoming somebody who's won my division at an Ironman event many times now, it's the journey has taken me in so many different places and so many different directions, personally and professionally. But the confidence that it builds, you know, you do something and you're like, I can do an Ironman. I know I can do this, you know?
Well, tell us about the mindset that's involved in doing these, especially these ultra distance sports.
Well, I think there's a lot of self-conflict. There's a lot of days that you don't want to get up and do the training. There's a lot of days that you have to look at the bigger picture and the bigger goal. And I think really it's a self journey. I mean, every event teaches me something about myself. We really focus with our clients on the why, you know, why do you do this? I keep my why very private and personal, but you have to have a very solid why. And I think that there's always a little bit of mental fighting, but in the end, I think there's just this spiritual, this very calming thing that the sport gives us, for lack of a better term.
So that's interesting to hear that even you, who loves to do this and is dedicating yourself to competitions and training, but even you have those moments where you may not want to get up or you may not want to do the training. I guess you always just assume that people who do this always feel ready to go.
You know, Michael Phelps made a comment once in a lecture that he gave about those days that are hard and the days that you really struggle to get out of bed and get yourself to the swimming pool or whatever it is for your sport. But what you get from that pays off in dividends down the road. And I think that's one thing that sport teaches you in general, is that the payday, you know, we're all into this instant gratification these days. And this is, you know, building a foundation, building your house, you know, getting to the space where you finally get to hang the I'm at home sign, and that's the finish line. But for some, the finish line, they cross it and they're done. And others, I think that finish line is always down the road. And I'm one of those people that the finish line is down the road.
That's good for all of us then, that the finish line is there. I want to hear about your journey to creating Peak Center Alaska, but before that, let's take our first caller that has a question for you. We've got Amelia from Eagle River. Welcome to Line 1.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. I just want to say congrats on the Ironman. We have a second home in Hawaii, and I volunteer almost every year at the finish line, both during the peak finishers and the miracle hour at the end. And though I don't think a giant Ironman's in my future, I am a naturally thin 44-year-old woman. I'm about 5'11", about 125, 130 pounds. And I've gotten away with that for a long time. And I know I need to start working on my core strength. I don't have much core strength, and I don't have much endurance. And I'm wondering if you have any tips for just your average 44-year-old thin woman to maybe start slowly, because I'm a bit lazy, working on increasing her core strength and endurance, because I can't live on my metabolism forever.
Ooh, I like
well,
that.
Amelia, First, I want to say thank you so much for volunteering for Ironman. We can't do these events without you, and I know you know how special the race is in Kona. I'm actually in Kona right now, and we own a home here as well, and so I very much understand the community, and just thank you for that. And I'll tell you that the place that we always, when we have people come into the lab and talk to us about exactly, we've heard your story all the time, and the first thing we tell people is just start with 10 minutes a day. You know, there's this idea that you have to jump off this cliff and swim across the ocean for your fitness journey immediately on day one. And my recommendation is to start with 10 minutes a day of just moving, and it will start to come. You'll start to feel better, and 10 minutes doesn't feel daunting, as well as starting with just the simple things of, you know, functional movement exercises, with doing a couple of sit-ups, doing a couple of bridges, working on your core strength. But just those little tiny bits, suddenly you'll realize you're doing 20 minutes, and then it's 30 minutes, and then you're capable of like running a little bit on that 10-minute walk. And so it's about starting, I don't want to say with lower expectations, that's not it, but give yourself a chance to gain the fitness. This idea that it needs to be instant right now, I think is overwhelming, and it's hard to overcome, and that's why people fail.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. And I think that's right. And I think you're going to share more about the importance of cardiovascular health and metabolic health later. So even for a thin person with a good metabolism, that strength training and exercises are really important from what I hear from you. Why don't you tell us about Peaks in Alaska and what you do there, and how did that come about?
So the Peak Center is one of the only metabolic labs in the nation, actually. We're one of the only metabolic labs that owns the equipment that we own. We only know of two others, and there are none on the West Coast. The only other place that you can find equipment that we utilize is at universities where they're teaching people how to use it, and hospitals. And so we have a unique approach and capability to work with people from all the way from morbidly obese to people that you've seen on podiums getting medals in the Olympics. We work with coaches who work with high-end athletes.
Oh, we're getting a little loss of sound, Rebecca. We got up into, you worked with morbidly obese to high-end athletes. Is your sound back? Maybe if you, maybe it's the headphones. Well, let's just go on to our first break. Are you there, Rebecca?
Oh.
There she is. Okay, go ahead.
Hold on. I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, sorry about that. So we work all the way from with morbidly obese all the way to elite athletes that get on podiums. We work with coaches from all over the world, including coaches that work with Tour de France.
Coach Bean, what we're going to do is we are going to take that first break now, because we do have to fix that sound a little bit, because we do not want to miss a word. All right, so you are listening to Line One, Your Health Connection. If you have a question or comment for Coach B today, give us a call statewide at 1-888-353-5752 or in Anchorage at 907-550-8433. After this short break, we will dive into some of the specific assessments that reveal insights about cardiovascular and metabolic health with Rebecca McKee as Line One continues statewide.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Ensure the vitality of public radio by including it in your estate planning. Together, we build a sustainable future for quality media. Thank you.
Get your weekly look at the trends, policies, and issues that impact your wallet in Alaska with the Alaska Economic Report. From local businesses to fiscal policy to big industries like fishing, tourism, and oil and gas, I'll cover the high-stakes economic issues that matter to Alaskans all over the state. That's the Alaska Economic Report with me, Ava White, on your local public radio station each week.
Welcome back to Line One, Your Health Connection on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Dr. Jillian Woodruff. I'm joined by our expert, Rebecca McKee, known as Coach B. She's a founding board member of the Alaska Triathlon Club and has competed in more than 100 triathlons worldwide. She's a nationally recognized endurance coach, elite athlete, elite triathlete, and the owner of Peak Center Alaska in Anchorage, where she helps athletes and non-athletes alike reach their peak performance. Today, we're exploring the science of human performance, training, and living longer, with a focus now on the critical role of cardiovascular and metabolic health assessments. Do you feel like you lack energy throughout the day and wonder if your cardiovascular or metabolic health might be the cause? Have you ever heard of VO2 max or workout zones and wondered if they're relevant to your fitness goals? Call us toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752, 1-888-353-5752, in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. All right, Coach B, are we back with you?
I think so. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. Okay, you were just telling us about, and we apologize for the technical difficulties, you were telling us about Peak Center and what you do there.
Right. So basically, we are a metabolic lab. We're one of the only metabolic labs in the United States, and we work with morbidly obese all the way to elite-level athletes from all over the world. And our approach is really focused on a lifestyle change. We are interested in working with individuals who are looking to not just the performance athlete, which we do a lot with individuals who are looking to compete, looking to achieve high goals, but also these people that have been told their whole life they can't do something, or because of how they their physical, you know, being overweight, things like that. Those are the opportunities that we actually cherish, because those are the people that we make the biggest impact with. The athlete is already somebody that's fulfilling their athletic goals. We're just going to help them succeed. But the individuals that come in that, you know, always wanted to be able to do a 5K, a 10K, you know, whatever it is, or lose weight, those are the ones that we really see significant lifestyle changes with.
Yeah, that could be really fulfilling. Have you noticed that your vision has changed over time? Or at the beginning, was that what you wanted to do, is help everyone?
Yeah, you know, I've been asked this question many times, and it really hasn't changed that much. I always had this complete health and wellness idea where we had doctors, where we had physical therapists, where we had masseuses. You know, we work with a herbalist, we work with an acupuncturist, you know, we have this wide range of people, because what I believe is nobody can really be an expert in anything, and that the team around you makes you amazing. And so I have this very wide net of amazing people that we work with all over the world, and when we run into an issue, I can run to these people and be like, I have this, what do you think it is, here's what I think. And I believe that I always have had the goal of working with a very wide range of people. We work with traumatic brain injury. We work with autistic. We have an autistic runner who's just crushing things right now. We work with COPD. Our range of people is very wide, and I think that's the thing. I wanted people to feel it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what's going on with you. We work with cancer patients. We want to show you that we can offer you a path to your goals and to achieve things.
How does your approach differ, or your team's approach, between supporting that elite athlete and supporting that person who perhaps wants to increase their longevity by increasing their health, or the person who wants to lose weight, who's been trying for quite some time and not had success on their own? Is there a difference?
There is a difference. There's a big difference. And we have a team of people that work with us at Peak. I have 5 coaches now at Peak, and all of them, while we all cross over, all of us have unique skills And my lab tech, who has a master's degree in physiology, she works with the majority of our weight management clients, and our registered dietitian, who has a master's degree, you know, works with our weight management clients and people that want to come in and are beginning runners. They're brand new to triathlon. They're brand new to the sport that they're doing. Works with our coach, who's very, very good with beginners. He can teach people how to swim. I work with our elite level athletes, mostly because of my experience level, but an elite level athlete takes a little less time and energy. But I will say that the biggest thing that we really focus on with, like, our weight management clientele is that most of the time, you know, let's just be blunt about it. These people have been told they're fat. They've been, you know, shamed. They've been judged. They've been put in some kind of position of feeling that they're less. And the first thing, the first hurdle we always have to jump with these individuals is the psychological side. You know, proving to them that they absolutely can do it. It is going to be hard. It is going to require change. And so that takes, you know, therapists, which we work with as well. And it is a lot different than our elite athletes, who come in with a lot of confidence, right? But even still have their own struggles. So every person that walks in the door at Peak is an individual. We don't put them in a box. We don't make them, you know, oh, this person's like Sally or you know, Joe. We look at them as a standalone individual person.
And so each person may have a different path that they're following.
Absolutely, and truly, each person does.
Well, for you, as a seasoned athlete who continues to compete at that elite level, do you perform any of these testings or assessments on yourself? And does it guide your training? What do you do?
Absolutely, and sometimes in the beginning, I was very addicted to the testing because I wanted to see what the results were telling me. I was constantly, you know, in the lab being a guinea pig, and we actually do studies and research and on different individuals, and how does altitude training change this, and, you know, what happens if we move into focusing on this type of training for this session or this block of period of time. And so, yeah, I mean, I have these really cool toys, and yeah. I definitely play with them.
And so it gives you information, valuable information, you think? Even
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all have, you know, I always talk about the hats, right? I have my athlete hat, and then I have my coach hat, and my athlete doesn't listen to my coach very often, you know? That's why I need a coach, and my husband coaches me. My coach down at ASU, Cliff English, if I didn't have those two, I'd probably be a crazy athlete.
I guess that's in every field, right? We don't follow our own advice sometimes, and that's why we have to go to experts as well. Well, Coach B, we have another caller. We have James from California. James, welcome to Line 1.
Yes, I used to live in Alaska. I came down here, retired, and to visit with my daughter. But I recently ran a race here in Carlsbad last Sunday. As a matter of fact, it was a full marathon, half marathon, and a 5K. I did the 5K. I've got my 79th birthday coming up here on the 29th. And I lucked out and found this book called Born to Run by Christopher McDougall. I actually found it in a dumpster. I couldn't believe that someone would put this in a dumpster, but here it is. So anyway, it's about the tribe in northern Mexico that live in Copper Canyon in the state of Chihuahua. And they run long, very, very long distances, way beyond marathon. And they run either barefoot or in sandals. And they don't have sophisticated running shoes or training, this type of thing. And it's just an amazing book to read. I'm going to read it again because there's so much information in it. I would highly recommend it to anybody who wants to be self-motivated. But I got a pair of barefoot running shoes, and they're not sophisticated ankle support or arch support in the shoes. And so there's a lot of things that people can do out there on their own if they got the right information. And so I just wanted to hand that off. I've run Mount Marathon in Seward 3 years.
Oh, wow.
I learned to run it smarter and whittled 5 minutes off my time every year by running and practicing different techniques. So there's a lot of stuff out there that's known to help people out.
Yes, thank you so much. And that's exactly, you know, what we want to do is just bring some more information. And congratulations and happy birthday coming up to you. That's really amazing. So, Coach B, what do you think about that running? He's 79 or going to be 79. That's pretty amazing, still competing.
I think it's phenomenal, and I think it, you know, shows how amazing sport is and what it does for us and our longevity. And, you know, I do know the book well, and I would just like to caution that just running out and changing your shoes and going into minimalism, it can cause a lot of issues with your body as well. So definitely be smart and careful about that. We're not huge on the message in the book from that perspective, but the book is very motivating. So yeah, the minimalist footwear, that's a little tiny bit of a lot of people have a lot of problems if they run out and try to just start barefoot running.
Right. You know, especially that experience, I guess. But when you're going, I know when you go to these shops where they fit you for shoes, they're looking at your stride, and sometimes you get to run on the treadmill, and I guess they kind of correct, or are they choosing shoes that kind of correct your stride or your arch, or, you know, I don't even know. It's a whole business, but it can be expensive when you're getting the perfect shoes. So I don't know how much of a difference it makes to your running. What do you think?
Well, I definitely think, especially these days, you know, everything that's spinning around us in the world, technology is advancing things so very quickly. And right now, running shoes are very, very much on that same train of technologically being changed. And the shoes that I ran in at Ironman Arizona in November, I think they're $280 a pair.
Wow.
And they took about 15 to 20 seconds a mile off my time. They are significantly faster, and it had nothing to do with my fitness. It has to do with the shoes. It's a lot like the bike you ride and how aero you are on that bike and how fast you can go with the same effort. Same kind of thing about shoes. And while I agree they're very, very expensive, they, especially for folks like me that go through, you know, a pair of shoes every 300 to 400 miles, that doesn't take very long to do.
For some, it may take a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. For some, it might.
My shoes last for years.
Right. I don't believe that, Julie. But I know that you're a runner. But I will say that most of the time, the shoe stores that you go in are looking to help you, you know, run comfortably, keep you from injury. And so, yeah, it's important to, I mean, it's important to spend money in places that are critical to us, and our feet are critical, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So taking the time and energy to find the right footwear is super important.
Well, let's move into longevity. So we've all likely come across Peter Attia's discussions about VO2 max if we're interested in longevity. And it's not just living longer, but it's living well, living healthier. And so he describes VO2 max as a key indicator of overall cardiorespiratory fitness. Can you talk to us about VO2 max, and is this something that you measure at Peak Center?
Yeah, so we have a lot of people that call us after reading this book and want to know what their VO2 max is and want to utilize it as a form of prescription or description. And when I say prescription, I mean a methodology to use to build a training plan. And when I say description, to describe it in a way that I can compare it to you. But the thing that people don't understand about VO2 and that Peter doesn't really go into in depth is that it's developed at adolescence. And so the majority of our VO2, almost 80% of it, is developed at puberty. And this is why having children in sport and having children moving and getting them off the couch and off their phones and off the video games is so critical to their longevity. We know that we can affect longevity significantly at youth more than we can as adults, because when we develop VO2 max capability, like I said, it's coming before and at puberty. And then once you get to that point, their capability to improve or change your VO2 max
isn't as, you're not as capable of doing it. And so when people come in and they're looking for this number, what we explain to them is you're going to get VO2 max, but it's your VO2 max right now at this point in time. And it's not comparable. It's like your thumbprint. I can't compare it to you. I can't compare it to my brother. I can't compare it to my mother. It's me. It's my own personal thumbprint. But we also give you information on what's going on with your metabolism, as well as what's going on with where you're burning fat and your carbohydrate demands when you come in. And that's how we explain this to people, is that you're going to get way more information that you can actually use to prescribe and utilize to help with your longevity. But I really do want to emphasize out there for those listening that it's about getting your kids up and moving early, and then their capability to increase their VO2 is significant at that point.
Well, Coach B, I did not know that, so thank you for telling us about that. That is very important for those that have kids or care for kids. Can you break down what is VO2 max for those who may not know? What is that? What does it mean? What do we need it for?
So VO2 max is your body's capability of utilizing the oxygen that you're inhaling. And I think what's really important to take away from this is that this is kind of how we like to explain things. Your body's an engine, and you're busy working. And as you put more load on that engine, you create exhaust. Exhaust spills into the bloodstream and takes the place of oxygen. This is your body's capability of utilizing that oxygen. And so what we know is that the maximum rate at which you can consume the oxygen that you're taking in as the intensity of your exercise increases, that's what VO2 max is. The point that you can no longer take in enough oxygen to continue. It's just before that point. And what we like to explain is that the exhaust from your muscles is lactate. It's spilling into the blood. As it takes that, as more lactate spills into the blood, your oxygen levels decrease. But what people need to understand is you need oxygen to burn fat. You cannot burn fat if you're breathing hard. Once you start breathing hard, the lactate has spilled into the blood at a rate that it can't be cleared. And at this point in time, you move into a different metabolic system. And when people talk about metabolic systems and metabolic syndrome, this is the stuff that they're alluding to. And it's glossed over and kind of, you know, made to look really simple, but it's not. There's a lot of different processes that go on, but I think what's important for your listeners to maybe take away from today is that you need oxygen to burn fat. And if you are breathing heavy, you have stopped burning fat. And so this kind of contradicts this whole concept of, you know, these concepts of, you know, go out and do it harder today. Do better today. You know, go and do that step aerobics class where you're breathing and sweating hard, and the spin classes and all these things. But what people don't understand is they're not burning fat in those classes. They're not burning fat when they can't talk. They're not burning fat if they're breathing hard.
This brings up so many questions. One of them would be, I guess there's a difference between fitness for weight loss and then fitness for cardiovascular health. And so I guess that's where kind of that separates. So maybe if they're doing these aerobic things where they can't breathe, are they still getting some sort of cardiovascular benefit?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you're still working, you know, musculoskeletal systems, you're still, you know, nervous system, you're still getting the dopamine, you know, adrenaline, serotonin, and people don't comprehend how much hormones play a part in our day-to-day abilities to function in our VO2 systems. Estrogen is a super important for men and women. And what we find is that people that come in that want to lose weight don't understand that the activities that they're doing aren't helping them lose weight. And so there is a very different way to train somebody who's coming in and wants to run a marathon versus somebody that wants to come in and lose 10 pounds, 50 pounds, you know, some of our clients are trying to lose a couple hundred pounds. And I think the biggest surprise to the majority of those individuals is that all we really want them to do is walk. Mm. We need them to be in a state where they are burning fat, and that means they can't be breathing heavy. It means they need oxygen. And so it really does depend on who you are, and that's why our programs are set up on a very individual level.
Right, absolutely. Well, you used my favorite buzzword, hormones, so I have a question about that. So in my practice, I see a lot of young women, and they're dealing with some of them polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, which, you know, it has this GYN-sounding name, but it's a metabolic condition that impacts many facets of their life. So they're having weight gain, or really, I should say, just a really difficult time losing weight. They can have some fertility challenges. There's some cosmetic concerns, often high blood pressure, high cholesterol. So this whole metabolic syndrome. And some of them are, you know, they will say that they are exercising and they are eating right, but they're still not able to lose weight. And I think a lot of this is the, you know, imbalance of hormones. But I think maybe talking to us a little bit about the metabolic portion, the metabolic health, and how important that is when you're trying to reach some of these health and fitness goals.
Well, I think that this is really key in understanding how to help individuals that are faced with these kinds of diagnoses. And what we know about the metabolism is, like I kind of already highlighted, is that we kind of have these different energy systems. And we have people that come in and tell us all the time, you know, I've been working out for a year and I lost, you know, 30 pounds at the beginning and I haven't been able to lose anything since. And one of the tools that we use at the Peak Center, and what I encourage your listeners to go out and find, is the ability to go and do a DEXA and have your body scanned and understand, you know, what is your, you know, fat density, what is your muscle density, you know, where's your visceral fat, you know, are you, you know, what's going on with you? Because the scale does not tell the tale. That's what we tell people. The scale is not your friend. Standing on the scale doesn't tell you, did you lose fat? Did you lose muscle? Are you, you know, wasting away because of the exercising that you're doing? It's not building muscle. And what we know is that when we have people that come in with diagnoses such as diabetes, PCOS, hopefully I said it right.
Yep.
We know that these people, I mean, look, we know that people want to be healthy, and sometimes it's a matter of having to change habits and lifestyles, but we also know that individuals that are genuinely concerned about their health and wellness, that just they're smashing their head on a wall and don't understand. And what we find is working with a nutritionist, understanding the timing of their meals, understanding what they're eating. Most people don't get nearly enough protein, and then the exercise that they're doing is not helping. And that's the thing. There are different methodologies depending on what's going on with you and your body.
So not all exercises are for everybody.
Absolutely. And kind of going back to the fat metabolism that we were just discussing, you know, if you're working hard and sweating and breathing hard, you are not burning energy in the right metabolic system. You're burning carbohydrates. And the thing about our bodies is, and we can all attest to this, we can store fat really effectively. All of us have plenty of fat. No matter how thin we are, we have plenty of fat, but we don't store carbohydrates effectively. I personally, as an elite athlete, my carbohydrate storage is about 12 hours. I am a hummingbird when it comes to having to eat constantly and needing carbohydrates because of how quickly I burn through my carbohydrates with the training. But I'm also an endurance athlete, and you know, my races are 10 and a half hours long, and I can spend that whole entire day eating very minimal because I know how to race in a fat burning system. And so when we look at people with metabolic syndrome, we have to pay attention to where are they training and making sure they're training in a place that is going to productively burn fat.
Does this have to do with the workout zones that I've been reading about?
Absolutely. And when you come into peak, we use the same equipment that I discussed earlier to determine when you stop burning fat, when you move into burning carbohydrates, and we establish zones based on those, and then we determine how to set up a training plan. But if you don't have a metabolic lab like, you know, what we have at peak, or have access to, you know, to coming in and getting testing, what's really important to understand is that breaking point of where you're breathing hard. You know, keeping in mind that if your goal is to lose weight, you have to pay attention, and that's, we define that as zones, and laying that out as, you know, particular zones to be training in, and then depending on what your goals are, you know, if we have an individual that's coming in and they want to run the 400-meter relay, or, you know, 400 meters flat out, even though that's the same event, we know that we have to utilize their energy systems differently, and they're going to be working in very, very high zones, you know, burning through their carbohydrates so quickly that they're actually going to burn muscle. And so the nutrition is different for those individuals compared to somebody that wants to come in and lose weight. They're not going to be burning through their muscle, but they are going to be burning through their carbohydrate stores. And then that goes into eating disorders, and I can talk forever, but the bottom line is that you, the zone methodology is very applicable no matter what your goals are, and it's very important to understand if you are really looking to make a lifestyle change.
Right. So are the zones, they're different for each person? You have to figure out when you enter each zone based off of the assessments that you're doing for the client.
Correct. And the thing that's hard about zones is there's no standard. How we lay out our zones at peak is completely different than maybe how somebody would be laying out. You know, you go online and you're like, how do I lay out my zones? And you're going to get 50 different interpretations of how zones should be laid out. Our zones are actually laid out fairly close to the way Peter Attia does it in his book, which is interesting because we've been doing it for 20-plus years and beyond. And it's always interesting to us when something becomes, you know, a big fad. We see this over and over with diets and things like this book, and we've been doing this for 20-plus years,
right?
We've
been doing this forever, yes.
Right. But the zones do establish where you're burning fat, where you're burning carbohydrate, when you move out of a carbohydrate burning system. And we could really get into the science of that, and I don't want to torture your listeners. But there is definitely, I think, when you understand where you should be training, it makes a big difference in your results.
Absolutely. Well, Coach B, it is time for our last break. So if you all have a question or comment for Coach B, give us a call statewide at 1-888-353-5752 or in Anchorage at 907-550-8433. We'll continue our discussion on human performance, training, and longevity when we return. You're listening to Line One, your health connection on Alaska Public Media.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Would you like to play a part in the public media you enjoy? Consider becoming a member or corporate sponsor. Contact your public radio station to learn how.
Start your day with a quick look at the most important stories from around the state with Alaska Morning News, your dose of headlines each weekday morning. With reporters covering every corner of Alaska, you can be sure you're up to date on the stories that matter to Alaskans. Join me, Ava White, for Alaska Morning News, weekdays on your local public radio station.
Welcome back to Line One. I'm your host, Dr. Jillian Woodruff. Our expert today is Rebecca McKee of Peak Center Alaska Training and Human Performance Center in Anchorage. She is a world-ranked elite triathlete and endurance coach with over 2 decades of experience. You can also join our conversation. Have you ever wondered how much muscle or fat your body has and what that means for your health? Are you curious about how fitness needs change as we age, or how training differs for kids versus adults? Give us a call toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752, in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Coach B, one of the exciting additions to the services at Peak Center is the DEXA bone density scan. So you already mentioned that. And you talked to us about how it analyzes your body composition as well as your bone density. Is the DEXA scan that you offer different from the scans typically covered by insurance that we get at imaging centers?
It's the exact same scan. And while we don't take insurance at Peak, one of the main reasons why we purchased the machine was to utilize as a tool to help our clientele understand, are they losing fat? Are they losing muscle? Is the exercise prescription that we are giving them benefiting them? Are we going in the right direction? You know, things like that. And we're also really working hard at Peak and with, you know, the various providers in town that send individuals to us. We're really working hard to help define that the scale isn't telling the tell. The scale isn't telling people the truth, right? You see this dopamine hit of, oh, I lost 3 pounds, but you don't understand that those 3 pounds weren't healthy. You know, you've lost muscle because you're not lifting weights or you're not exercising or you're not feeding your body the right way. And we can tell in people's body composition when they come into the lab for their testing what's going on with them, and we could see it over and over. And we couldn't get our clientele in to have these tests done. They were being denied through their insurance company or being told they weren't old enough. And we also provide bone density, which we feel super important to know earlier in life rather than later in life, where you can make significant changes, you know, in your 40s or your 30s versus 65. So it is the same machine. That was a long answer.
Yes. You bring up a good point. Is a lot of times the recommendation is to do bone density scans at around 65, where then you're diagnosing osteoporosis and then you're starting medications that have many other side effects to them. Now, I've looked at a lot of bone density scans, though, and I do not recall seeing all of this information that you just gave. So are these on reports, or are they only reporting about the bone density, even if they may have the ability to do these other things?
Typically, that's what it is they're only doing bone density scans because insurance doesn't really feel it's necessary for you to know your fat or muscle, right? So we are coming at it from a performance and wellness standpoint rather than the insurance struggle is what I call it, you know, where they've decided what's right for you and what isn't right for you, when I believe that this information is really beneficial to every single person ever. Mm-hmm. And especially the bone density, we know that, you know, 1 in 4 men and 1 in 2 women suffer from osteoporosis, and more women will die from osteoporosis this year than cervical cancer.
Yes.
And breast cancer combined.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very scary to think about those numbers and think that, wow, if I had this information in my 40s before menopause, I could have done something about this and not had taken the route of medication. And so I don't believe that a lot of the imaging centers have the capability to give you your fat and muscle. And when we give you the report, it is a report that you can take to your doctor. It is a medical document. And we do break it down for our clientele because we believe that it's very confusing information. And you look at it and you're like, I don't know what to do with this. And that's another thing. We're into not just spitting out some kind of, here's your results, good luck. We want people to understand what to do with them and how to act on them. And we're utilizing this piece of equipment in this way to help prescribe.
So this is part of the assessment, so part of the metabolic assessment. Tell us about if a person comes in and they want, you know, depending on, they have a journey that they want, or they have a goal they want to reach. How do you go about doing the assessment? I've actually had assessments with you, so I know, like, for me, it was running and getting my blood drawn from my finger and the blood prick. Does everyone do that? I think I was breathing into something as well.
Yeah. Well, it was super exciting to have you in the lab, and I've really enjoyed working with you, and maybe we'll get you back in.
Yeah, I may need to, yes, to prepare for the future.
Right, absolutely. Well, I will say I always do an interview on the phone and talk to the individual. It's very important to listen to what people are telling you. And I take qu- quite a bit of time on our intake process to have that conversation and understand what this person's goals are. Sometimes we find that what they're saying doesn't match what their goal is, and the expectation becomes a little shifted because I talk to so many people that I really can't identify what it is that they're looking for versus maybe what they're saying. And then we make a determination about what's going to be the best for them and what lab testing is going to actually give them the information that they're looking for. And so we do a resting metabolic rate assessment that tells us what your daily caloric demand is and, you know, what your body's looking for. And depending on what your goals are, if you're looking to lose weight, maintain weight, gain weight, we have recommendations, as well as if you're a triathlete, you're going to run and bike in our lab. If you're just looking for, you know, if you're a trail runner, you're going to do a graded assessment. If you're a runner, if you're general fitness, we'll put you on the treadmill. We will hook you up to the metabolic cart. That gives us the information about your, you know, what your macronutrients are burning and where they're burning. You know, is it fat? Is it carbohydrates? Like I said earlier, this helps us determine where the shift is in burning fat to carbs. And then, yeah, we take your blood as well. I promise it's not that scary sounding, but we do a little pinprick. And we use a piece of equipment that is very unique to us. We do not have a handheld analyzer like a lot of companies out there. We actually own our own intellectual property, and we utilize a special significant process on how to break down blood to find lactate. And utilizing that along with a whole bunch of science-y terms, you know, respiratory quotient and the rate of perceived effort and a whole bunch of different things come into it, where your VO2 is, your, I can go on and on. We take that, and with 20 plus years of experience, I look at the data, I look at every single person's data that comes into the lab, and this is how we, you know, break out our information we give you. And then depending on what you're looking for, we do gut microbiome
testing.
Thank you. We do sweat testing. We have the DEXA that tells us a bunch of information. We can do functional movement screenings. We have our registered dietitian. And this is how we utilize the capability to really, like, infiltrate people's lives. And then we also find where they have needs. You know, we refer people to you. We refer people out to other doctors. It's like, hey, we think you need to talk to a doctor about this or this medication that you're on. And we can see that this thyroid medication isn't working for you on our cart. Like, we can see that. Go tell your doctor, right? And so that's kind of what I think people should expect when they come in and, you know, to work with us. And then the information that they get from that is very usable, whether they're going to come on board with us and be coached by us or if they're going to go home and use what we gave them on their own, which is very important to me. I have a little pet peeve about getting information and not knowing what to do with it. And so we make sure that people that only want to come in and get tested can take that information and go apply it today in their real life.
So that's wonderful. So you can go on to work with your team and be guided through the process or guided, helped along to your goals, to achieving the goals, or get all of this really useful information and take it and utilize it on your own. You don't have to continue with a program, just depending on what your goals are.
Absolutely. And we have people ask us often, you know, like, well, how do I do this if I can't get into your lab? Well, it's not that easy. You know, I don't have the solution to that, but I do know that there are ways, like we discussed earlier, you know, think about, am I breathing hard when I'm working out here? But, you know, if you have a real struggle and you haven't been able to get over that hurdle, it might be that it's time to, you know, look out around you and see what tools you can utilize in your community. I know there's people calling from other places. We actually have people that fly in from all over the world to work with us at Peak, from all over the United States, from all over the world. We've had people from, you know, almost every continent, I think, except for Antarctica.
Well, Coach B, we have a caller. We have Bill from Anchorage. Bill, welcome to Line 1.
I'll be quick. My cholesterol numbers is usually about 230. Right now it's 260. I wasn't fasting. But my ratio is 3.6. And it's always been a good ratio. So I'll just take the answer off the air. But what's the importance of having a low number of cholesterol? And by the way, very good show. Thank you.
Well, I got to admit to you straight up, I'm not a doctor. So maybe I can default
Yes.
You, Jillian?
Bill, I think that is a good question, but I can actually send you a message offline if you email us at line one and talk to you about the cholesterol numbers. Your cholesterol, it's a long answer, so I can certainly send that to you, but I don't know that Coach B, you do a lot with cholesterol, I guess only as far as increasing your HDL, which they consider the good carrier of cholesterol, and that's increased with exercise. So I guess that's where you would come in, Coach B, but aside from that, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do work with a lot of people on a lot of different types of medications and, for reasons like cholesterol, blood pressure, heart, and things like that. And we absolutely can build plans that help people with all of that and with their weight. And, but ultimately that's when it comes to like what the numbers are and what's being prescribed, mm-hmm. that is absolutely a medical thing.
Okay. And Coach B, we do have an email asking about cost and how this is paid for, and just what's the justification for the cost, like weight being maintained or weight loss. That one, I think we may have to answer that email offline. But how can people contact you to ask that question? What do they do?
Well, you can email me at, I think it'll probably be uploaded, so rather than spelling it out, look for my email address. You can call us as well. And our website's out there. It'll be posted, I believe, but yes. You can find us at thepeakcenterak.com. And the cost it varies depending on what you want to do. If you came into the lab and did every test that we offer, I think it runs about $1,200. But, most people, I'd say the average ticket in the lab is around 400-ish. And with a couple of extra tests, like the DEXA, it runs around $650. Mm-hmm. I've worked really hard to keep things affordable, because we want people to be able to do it. I'll also say, too, though, we do not accept insurance.
There you go. Well, and we can get some more information out. You can find that information on the website. We're out of time. Thank you so much to our guest, Coach Rebecca McKee, for being with us today. Thanks to our audio engineer, Dave Waldron, and our producer, Madeline Rose. You can find more information on this and previous programs on our website at alaskapublic.org. Let us know your thoughts or suggestions by emailing us at line1@alaskapublic.org. This has been Line One, Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Dr. Jillian Woodruff. Thank you.
Line One is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Learn more about Line One and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
KSDP, 830 AM in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset, starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, gale warning tonight and Thursday. Today, southwest winds 30 knots, seas 8 feet. Tonight, southwest winds 40 knots,